Thank you, Liz. It's nice to be here. I'll start my talk with a quote. All of this is so close to my heart that I'm sure if anyone cut me open, they'd find a map inside with rivers and roads for veins. This was spoken by Ina L. Young, said at the end of her 45-year career working with maps. Ina began her career in an almost lucky way with a friend recommending she apply for the job. When she was hired in January of 1917, Young was a typist and general assistant to Leon Dominion and J.R. Wallace, who were the map curator and assistant map curator of the map department of the American Geographical Society, respectively. Young's duties at the time included filing, sorting maps, and other general office jobs. After 6 months in employment, she went on a two-week vacation in August, only to return as the sole employee of the department, saying the map library was left high and dry with only me to look after it. After a few years in her role as the only map department employee, she negotiated with the AGS director to be made the curator. He gave her a year-long trial period, but she ended up staying in that role for the rest of her working career. Young earned her job at the end of this nationwide shift of males leaving clerical work and other types of jobs similar to librarians. Most women entering the workforce at this time fit the mold of white, educated, and middle class, in addition to remaining single to fulfill their professional lives. Young fits into the category of all four of these. Librarianship as a career for women during this period of the 1910s and 1920s was considered especially appropriate because they drew on their natural talents of nurturance, sympathy, domestic management, and self-sacrifice, end quote. One interesting development of the switch from Leon Dominion to Young in 1917 was that the map department went from three full-time employees to one. Despite Young's eventual triumph in her domain, surely the AGS and its director did not think that one woman with only 6 months experience in this new field could successfully cover the extent of what was, at the time, a very large collection. A likely theory is that the AGS simply did not have the bandwidth to hire for the position. In 1917, the AGS was hosting the U.S. Commission of Inquiry, a precursor to the American Commission to Negotiate Peace, which would eventually go to France following World War I. Her role as the de facto map curator would have her thrown headfirst into the business of map reference, and not even just general reference, because experts in their field would be asking her questions about maps and atlases to fulfill their role for the inquiry. Young also found herself on the tail end of the transition from gentleman librarian to women being mainly in library roles. Up until the late 19th century, men's jobs in libraries came through what Joanne Passett, historian of librarians, described as the virtue of life experience, degrees in other fields, or through a network of personal contacts. Most male librarians had degrees in other fields, which qualified them to be librarians. Their focus as librarians up until now had them focusing on their own research. This notion of the gentleman librarian prevailed throughout the 1800s and even into the 20th century, despite the feminization of the profession that happened in the 19th century's last two decades, with examples like Leon Dominion, curator of the AGS map department and predecessor to Young in 1915 to 1917, Philip Lee Phillips, the first head of the Geography and Maps Division of the Library of Congress from 1897 to 1924, and Lawrence Martin, the second head of the Geography and Maps Division of the Library of Congress from 1924 to 1946. The wording of gentleman librarian came from a Janice Monk article regarding the women workers of the AGS throughout its history. She used the phrase to describe men who are part of a library without training. No relevant experience in library science was needed by this type of person, and by virtue of being men with other advanced degrees, they were awarded jobs in libraries. In furthering this definition, the gentleman librarian terminology was specifically applied to map librarianship. The gentleman librarian were men who had degrees or specialties in other fields and worked by virtue of that experience in map libraries. Map librarian and historian of map librarianship, Walter Ristau's term, geographer librarian, is a similar type of figure to the gentleman librarian. This employment among their field of study allowed these men to work on their personal research projects with the very materials that they administered to. The phenomenon of the gentleman librarian may have happened less often in public library spheres and more in archives and special collections, such as a map library, since the material lends itself better to a particular area of study and less on circulating a collection for the general public. The notion of the gentleman librarian in a specialized library setting, was it evidenced by a person who was not trained to be a librarian, but is an expert in their field, which can often be seen from the perspective of historians of cartography. The people with expertise in this field have detailed knowledge of maps and geography, likely throughout different eras, and have the knowledge to teach this material while lacking the information science background to communicate the knowledge. As the field of map librarianship began to develop in the late 1800s, mostly men were librarians and administrators. And as time passes, female librarianships enter the ranks. Compared to general librarianship, however, the number of women stays relatively low. For example, Ina Young of the AGS was Walter Ristau's mentor for much of the first years of his entrance into map librarianship, which was 20 years after Young began her career. His career had a trajectory of advancements, further proving map librarianship was the exception to the rule when it came to the feminization of the profession. Specifically, in terms of the literature published by map librarians, the male author is overwhelmingly more present in the field. From 1853 to 1940, of the 93 articles written about map librarianship, 68 of the articles were written by men, 4 were written by women, and then 11 came from unknown or anonymous persons. The next batch of articles from 1941 to 1966 introduced 250 publications. 162 of those were written by males, 61 were written by females, and 26 came from unknown or anonymous persons. With 73% and 65% male-written articles, respectively, for each batch of articles, map librarianship proved to be a male-dominated profession. Even if the number of female librarians was high, from the viewpoint of general librarianship, most of the map librarians were men because of the amount of articles they'd written, their voice was stronger in the profession or louder. In addition to being the authority figures in the fields, reinforcing the narrative of the gentleman librarian that dominated map librarianship. Young had a unique place following the gentleman librarian era and bridging into the modern map librarian era. Another historian of map librarianship, Walter Ristau, stated that the first generation of map librarians, American map librarians, was of necessity self-trained. The 1930s was a period in which librarianship more generally was becoming more professionalized. In 1934, Gilbert H. Doan, the author of The Librarian as Writer, he put a call out for librarians to bring more writing into their field so that the field of librarianship could be taken more seriously. This excluded special libraries like map librarianship or archives, but the thought is there. If you professionalize yourself, then you get more respect for the field. Based on Young's work documents from the archives of the AGS, she began to establish herself more at this point, with more examples of exhibits that she'd curated and acquisitions that she'd made. Before that point, she had mentioned herself in the past tense, so she wrote a little history of herself, and that's where I got most of my information about her early career, and she doesn't actually begin making her own like work documents and saving them until the 1930s. The 1940s, she began to join professional societies like the newly formed Special Libraries Association, the Geography and Maps Division. The United States' involvement into World War II brought about a 15 to 20 year period of intense popularity in maps, and the increase of scholarship related to map libraries was astounding. The United States government and private media made use of maps to a much greater extent than in World War I. As map librarian Bill Woods argues, the library community, parallel to the feelings of the United States as a whole, began to see the respectability of maps as a legitimate material for collecting and reference. Not only are there more map libraries than ever in the years following World War II, but there are more libraries who needed guidance from the professionals who had become pillars in an established, but largely unpublished and unrecognized field. To further help these newly minted map librarians with their newly acquired Army Map Service and Federal Depository Library Program maps, in 1950, Library Journal published a special issue entitled Maps in the Library, in which 11 articles were published. This denoted another milestone for the field. Ristau almost refers to it as a turning point. In his article, What About Maps?, Ristau's hope for this kind of exposure of the field to the rest of the library science world shines through in his writing. Additionally, the excitement of all the authors all the authors show in getting to publish in library journal is evident in their writing. Young, the curator of the map department at the time, was the editor for this issue owing to her status as a member of the Special Libraries Association New York City Division. She edited 10 articles and wrote her own contribution entitled These Maps Are Essential, which instructs a novice map librarian about which maps, atlases, and map series are good foundation for a collection. Her contributions as an editor and writer in this article series helped to prepare the next generation of map librarian professionals who might be receiving maps without having other important maps in their collections. This period saw more map librarians than ever be graduates of a library school master's degree program, which further proved the legitimacy of this budding profession. It also shows the trajectory of the profession, as now it would be, you'd be very hard pressed to find a map librarian who didn't have some sort of advanced degree. Young managed to navigate the waters of the gentleman librarian, geopolitics in her workplace, and the strange contrast of being a part of a librarianship that was not feminized. Her predecessor, Dominion, and her coworkers at the AGS were examples of gentleman librarians, and somehow they were listed as pillars of the AGS when Young, a 45-year installment of the society, was not, in Geography in the Making, a book by J.K. Wright about the first 100 years of the AGS. Geopolitics touched her work from the beginning with the inquiry and again during World War II. She undoubtedly helped with reference services for all kinds of questions that the United States government had for the maps of the collection. This narrative ends with Young's retirement in 1962, but even after her retirement, she remained an active figure in the map librarianship world by consulting on collections internationally. She also wanted to write her own paper about the history of cartography, specifically about the work of Lieutenant George Wheeler and his work in the United States west of the 100th Meridian. She sadly never finished this work as she passed away on December 31st, 1971. Her legacy lives on in the collection now housed in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where the library of the AGS was moved in 1978. The plaque dedicated to her in New York City now hangs at the entrance to the Rare Materials Room in the current location of the American Geographical Society Library at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. A tribute to the maven of map librarianship, the plaque reads her lovely quote, which I started with, "All of this is so close to my heart that I'm sure if anyone cut me open, they'd find a map inside with rivers and roads for veins." Thank you so much.
Thank you very much indeed for that lovely talk, which opened for us that whole world of map librarianship, which has been so important. I found intriguing the fact that you point out that map librarians were, and maybe to a certain extent are, valued more for their independent scholarship than the service that they provide to readers, that the way of achieving status, certainly in the early days, was not the normal route that we might think of as things we value in a library collection. And I wonder if you could talk about that element of service and public, helping the public to use maps as something that fits in with the sort of expected gender roles.
Well, I think as a recent graduate of a library science program, like, we prioritize access and things like that, information literacy. And I could definitely see, like, in early documents of map librarians who are men, it was all their scholarship was their own research about the maps themselves. Like, a lot of the papers we've seen today would fit into what they would have talked about, and less so about, like, articles about how to be a map librarian, like we saw in the 1950s with that library journal series, where all 11 articles were by both genders that said how to effectively administer your collection, how to get people to see it.
And how does that mesh with the sort of feminization of the profession, do you think?
I think in a lot of ways, it just, there were so few women that were librarians. Like, you'd see a lot of, filers, typists, that kind of thing working in that role. So I think when the profession opened up to be, shifted to be more women, you didn't see it as much with the library, with map librarianship, but I do think that had, like, a big role in why that changed.
Thank you. Well, I think your paper draws us very elegantly to the end of our session today, reminding us as we broadcast from the Bodleian, reminding us of the importance of map collections in facilitating scholarship and in opening up maps to as wide an audience as possible, as well as obviously curating and conserving maps so that they can be accessed by future generations. So thank you very much for your paper, which brings things very, very nicely to an end.
Thank you so much.